Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9 The Game.com. It is Sam and Greg on this January 1st, first day of 2025. And want to thank you for letting us be a part of your Wednesday morning. I got to think about it. This is Wednesday, you know. But seriously, we have spent this morning, unfortunately, throwing everything that we planned on talking about and doing this morning out the window because of the news that has come out of New Orleans. Now, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen here in a little bit here. We are trying to put together the news conference, so much, not all of it, but the statements from the mayor of New Orleans from a little while ago, giving you the breakdown of what has happened, what, at least she can tell us, is going to happen next, and what the French Quarter looks like right now as far as its presence. They want you to stay away from there, all of that. So instead of us hooing and hawing and speculating, which we've been doing anyway.
The reason we're really dialing into this because our folks are down there. You know, Georgia is playing tonight. I'm playing the game. People are in New Orleans just to have a good time and celebrate the Sugar Bowl. Georgia's getting ready to play Notre Dame. And, man, you have this happen in the city. You hope that everyone's okay. It's going to really throw a wrinkle into what people go there for. You went there to have a good time and enjoy the game. And now you're going to be very limited in moving around it, around the area, around the French Quarter, and rightfully so when you considered what took place there.
So, again, you take a deep breath and you're trying to move on. And, again, as soon as we have that information, we have that sound for you, we're going to bring it to you. But you're right, Sam. This was the day we're going to start off talking about the quarterfinals. Now that we're into this 12-team playoff, relive what happened yesterday with Penn State and Boise State. We had our comments on that earlier. We now know that whoever wins between Notre Dame and Georgia will take on Penn State. But it's local to start off here first. It's the Peach Bowl. We got Gary Stokin coming on here later on in the show. It's talking about Texas. It's talking about Arizona State. They're in town. Their fan base is here. You know, how are they making their way around the city? That kickoff is at 1 o'clock. And then you go from that to the Rose Bowl. You got Ohio State versus Oregon. Yeah. And say, you know, listen, we've been having fun at Ryan Day's expense a little bit here. But talking about that rematch. And then, of course, then you had the final game in the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans with Georgia and Notre Dame. This is what we planned on doing. Spending time talking about each one of these matchups and the area surrounding it. You've gone out to the Rose Bowl before. I believe you've talked about covering that.
I've been to the stadium. I've never been to the actual game.
So you didn't cover the game?
I have not been to the Rose Bowl.
I think I've looked at that stadium maybe once. Never been out there for any game, but I thought you'd been in there. But still, just being out there and what that's like. Now, what we do have is some pictures from the teams there going to, like, Disneyland and things like that.
Oh, yeah. And also the parade will take place there. And for people to notice, in recent years, Tournament Roses Parade have included bands from HBCUs. The Jackson State Band is in Los Angeles, and they will be in the Tournament of Roses Parade today. So if you tune in and watch this morning, you'll get to see the Sonic Boom of the South, as they have called it. And they've been very active. They've been busy. They marched and played through Disneyland yesterday.
Were they in their suits?
They're having a great time. No, what they
were casual.
No, they're in their band uniforms.
Oh no, I was okay. I was.
I'm distracted.
I thought you were talking about the team itself.
No, the band is out there to perform, and they make a number of appearances before they actually march in the parade today.
Hmm. Yeah. We've been well represented at some big parades around the country during this holiday season.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well represented.
We got Jonesboro High School Band was big. And then this time next year, they will be in England, I think, for a New Year's Day parade there. So, I mean, so we got some people doing some things. It will be by that time.
There'll be a little fundraiser between now and then, I would hope. Again, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.
We talked about this incident and this tragedy that's happened in New Orleans. LaToya Cantrell is the mayor of New Orleans, and just a little while ago, she had a chance to give a briefing. Let's get these thoughts from her.
Good morning. First of all, we do know that the city of New Orleans was impacted by a terrorist attack. It's all still under investigation. You'll hear more after me. However, I have been in direct contact with the White House, with Governor Landry, and of course a unified command who is present here. What I'm asking at this time are prayers for those who have lost their lives in the city of New Orleans due to this tragedy. In addition to that, I'm asking the public to stay clear of 8 blocks around Bourbon Street. Stay clear from Bourbon Street, 8 blocks around. Very active, and again, a unified command is in place right now. I'm going to ask Chief Kirkpatrick to give you an update. You're then going to hear from our agent in charge relative to the FBI.
So that is the mayor saying what this. So we got eight blocks around that area. And you gotta imagine in New Orleans that encompasses a lot of restaurants,
hotels,
a lot of hotels,
which may affect people who left here in Georgia to go to that game. And now where do you go?
Yeah,
because everything for you're not gonna find something. You know, I mean, you might have if you can get to your clothes. That's the other thing you got to think about. If they close that thing off at the crime scene, you can't go back and get whatever you left in your hotel room.
Nah.
Or it's going to take you a while before they'll let you in there. Mm-hmm. Then it's a whole lot of IDs. Do you have this? Can you prove you're staying there? All right, we're going to make sure you got 5 minutes. They'll coordinate something. But everything gets blown up once you have this kind of situation. They don't care one way or the other.
And I'm not sure what this is in regard to the team hotels,
uh-huh.
where the teams are. Yeah, that's the other thing. They got to get in and out.
Buses got to get to them to take them wherever.
There's a whole lot of stuff that logistically that is going to be impacted by what has happened overnight in New Orleans as we get set for this game today. So I'm sure right now the people who are involved in the Sugar Bowl and the people with both of the teams and the people in the leadership of both teams are basically they're trying to get some things straight. They probably haven't had a wink of sleep since this happened.
I was just going to say, and you can't imagine what goes through the mind. You really, I would think that if you know. Marcus Freeman, Kirby Smart, the best thing they can do is take these guys as far away from any kind of receiving of information and news and just try to keep them as focused as they can. It's going to be really hard since they don't, kick off till nearly 9 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to keep them away from knowing this. But as long as they know that everyone is safe, I think that's the thing that their main concern would be, and that no one that was traveling with their party and it was traveling with their teams were out there and were injured in the course of any of this. Obviously, your heart goes out to people who've lost a loved one or someone who's gotten injured in this. We got 2 police officers who were wounded. This person drive this car into the crowd, targeting people to run over, get out, and then exchange gunfire.
Well, no, she was shooting from his pickup truck,
yeah.
The mayor said. And the other thing, the FBI has taken over this investigation. But what gives you reason to pause is what she said to start the whole thing off, is that New Orleans was the victim of a terrorist attack.
Yeah.
Now, we've seen that in the past, and it looks a certain kind of way.
Well, it can come in a lot of different
but
ways.
But this is what I'm saying.
It can come in a number of different ways.
Multiple ways. And this was not a DUI situation. Went in there with full intent to do damage and do harm. Caused as much carnage as he could.
And that's the thing you wonder about, as far as security for events like this on New Year's Day and our game here in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
We had people in the streets here last night. We had the return of the Peach Drop, which is an Atlanta tradition, that return. I'm sure there are some people who are in town for the game who went over to the Peach Drop. Some people who are from Texas and from Arizona State, they're here is sampling and enjoying all of part of Atlanta,
right.
what is part of the city. And so and you talk about the mayor talking about over 300 officers were out working in New Orleans last night. But that's what they do, New Year's Eve when they have this game going on. So
now, Sam, I will say, let me add to this because we speculated on some, not a lot of it, but as we wonder about gathering more information, but this is coming from the FBI. improvised explosive devices now are being found. I believe that's the reason why they're confident in calling this a terrorist attack.
And the perimeter being 8 blocks.
Yes.
Because if there's anything that's been put anywhere, wow.
You know what I mean? We didn't get that information earlier.
When you allow yourself to think about that.
So when you talk about it, yeah, explosive devices, jeez. Anyway, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. This is our job today, folks. It is not to talk lightheartedly about sports. We'll do our best to give our opinions about some things, but this news, and because it has a local connection, is worthy of us pivoting the way we have.
Absolutely.
And so, again,
hope people bear with us. Hope people understand. But I think some people, as they wake up and find out about it, they want to find out more information, and just especially if they know someone who's there.
Exactly.
You know, you want to know that your loved one is okay, and that they, you know, they go there to have a good time. You know, they go to have a good time. They go home to root for Georgia tonight to get the win over Notre Dame, and enjoy all that New Orleans has to enjoy. I enjoy going to the city.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy going there. Now, John Fricke, he don't care much for it.
I have a problem with it. The last time I was there, I
enjoy New Orleans. It's just that I don't get to do what you did, get right. to go there when there's not some type of festival or some That's type true. Of bowl yeah. game or Bayou Classic or something. There's nothing of that going on. It always seems like when I go, it's when something's happening, and it's like the lines are out the door and around the corner to the places you really want to go to eat.
Once again, 10 dead, and now the number has grown to 35, they're saying. 35 plus injured.
Yeah, another injured.
And still the two officers that were shot in stable condition. And as we continue to get information, the FBI has taken over this investigation, but New Orleans is saying, and the FBI is saying, this was a terrorist attack on the city of New Orleans. So we will do our best to keep you up on the situation. Listen, we got people here that work at this radio station who have connections with the University of Georgia, got friends that probably traveled to there for the game. So, again, this hits, you know, as the dust, a little bit of it starts to settle, and you start to realize the connection that we have with folks that we know that went out for this situation.
Well,
we're going to do our best to try and gather as much information as we can, and we're not mad at you if you have changed the channel and go to a news outlet that's doing this on the regular. But we're going to be here, hopefully coming up before the end of this hour. Going to hear from Gary Stokin to set the tone for the local Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, which is going on with Texas and Arizona State. And maybe you can ask him why Bevo, you know, after everything that you brought
we
up
may,
there.
May, we may ask him.
Yeah, how come y'all didn't let Bevo in town? Maybe he didn't have nothing to do with it. Maybe somebody higher up.
Maybe Chick-fil-A said it's chicken. You don't let the cow in, you get the chicken.
I didn't think about that. You know what's funny? Until now, until you said that, Sam, I forgot about all the commercials with the cowboy eat more, you know.
Yeah, so, you know, yeah, that may have something to do with it.
Maybe.
We'll have to see.
Of course, kicks off at 1 p.m. Also, later on in the show, Joe Patrick going to talk a little bit more Falcons and Jeff Sintel. You know, hopefully we will hear from him.
Hopefully hear from him. He is in New Orleans, so hopefully we'll hear from him at 9 a.m. Hopefully we will hear from him this morning and get his thoughts on Georgia playing the game and anything that he's seen or heard this morning there in New Orleans.
We thank you for letting us be a part of your Wednesday morning, first day of 2025. It is Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you on the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com on this Wednesday, January 1st. Thank you for letting us be a part of your New Year's morning here. Again, a morning where we have had to pivot and do not sound very confident in the words coming out of our mouths because we are gathering information as we speak about the tragedy that took place this morning. Actually, I got to change how I say that. The terrorist attack that took place this morning in New
that
Orleans.
That is what is being called. That would be correct.
Man. So again, we played a little while ago. We're going to play it again. We understand if you needed to dip over to some news channels to get regular updates, but we played the sound from the mayor who gave a breakdown, and it is fluid. You know, there was 30 people injured when she gave, or being reported injured when she gave the news conference. It's now up to 36, 35 plus, still 10 dead at this point. So again, we will do our best to try and give you any updates, but this is a story that hits home because we got a lot of people that we know and listeners know that took this road trip out to New Orleans to be there for the Sugar Bowl, and this happens this morning. Game's not till 9 o'clock tonight. I mean, we're more than this at more than 12 hours away.
That's a long wait.
You know what
That's
I mean?
It's a long wait, but the you know, obviously, there were plans in place and activities for the team and for the people who were there in town to follow the team. You know, pregame activities, which now may be drastically curtailed, if not canceled. You know, we're just going to do just what we have to do. We're just going to get the teams to the building. We're going to play the game. I can see that being, you know, what takes place. And rightfully so, who can argue with it when you have what's happened? Basically, you know, trying to think eight blocks, but I'm trying to think if that encompasses the Superdome. It probably does. You know,
last time I walked it, I don't know that that was you cross a couple real busy streets.
Right. I know.
So I don't know how that's going to play out. I wish we had somebody that was there that could, you know, really, you know, with a cell phone could walk around and talk to us and give us the lay of the land. Maybe that'll happen.
Yeah.
If you guys know somebody that is there.
We're still working. I got to make a phone call back down there, too.
And is mobile and can give us a shout here, 404-726-0929. Or if you're in contact with somebody who's down there and you've got some firsthand information, we would love to hear from you. Again, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Listen, let's do a little bit of what we planned on doing.
Okay.
And again, let's check back with updates as they have it. Listen, the sun's coming up in New Orleans right now. And
people are being able to really get a chance to see.
It's shining a light. There's no way in the world, short of a drone, flying over some of the pictures that we saw when it was still dark out.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see them putting that out. You'll see those pictures, I'm sure, at some point. But right now, no, it's not going to happen. So, again, Sam and Greg, along with Noelle on the other side of the glass. In fact, Noelle, when she's ready, she's going to join us here because we're going to spend some time on this January 1st talking about the stories of 2024 that stayed with us, something that you're going to take well past 2025. You and I talked yesterday about the passing of Willie Mays.
Yeah.
That's going to stay with
me. Yeah.
You know, but yet you had a really personal connection with the event that was taking place just before he died.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, this is over in Birmingham, and ironically, Rick Whitfield was being prepared, for the baseball game, the Field of Dreams game was being moved there to basically honor him and play at the place where he played his first professional game with the Birmingham Black Barons, you know, in the Negro League before coming to the majors. And so the irony of it all, that he would pass away as everybody was headed for Birmingham to honor him and play this game at this ballpark, the oldest ballpark, I guess it still be recognized as the oldest ballpark in the country, that looked great that night. And it was a wonderful tribute to him. But just the idea that you really wanted him to be there.
Right. Yeah. Hey, listen, and let's kind of make this a little fun here and interactive with the audience. 404-726-0929. I want you to give us a call if you can, if you feel like it. If not,
whatever your story was.
Just go back and forth with it. No, because of this. I asked you, now that Willie's gone, who's the greatest living baseball player?
Oh.
Who in your mind? Because remember, they used to do that all the time, the Yankees, when they would bring Joe DiMaggio out to throw out a first pitch or whatever. The greatest living ball player, Joe DiMaggio, right? And, of course, folks who, you know, Hank was still here and Willie was still here, they had something to say about that. But now that Willie's gone, Hank's gone, who is, in your mind, the greatest living baseball player? I'm not asking you for an answer right now, but we can throw that out to the audience.
Okay.
404-726-0929. Or as we bring Noelle on, ask her, along with the other stories that she's going to tell us about.
Yeah, the stories are 24. I mean, which one will stick with you as a great story?
We got the good morning already, but listen, we ain't going to be mad at you if you do it again.
Look, living baseball player, I have no idea. I'm going to pass on
that one. All right.
Okay.
Dipped out of that one.
I have an idea, but I mean, this is New Year's Day, so give us what you think from last year.
Let's see, what's the story? Well,
there's got to be a few. You don't have to give me just one. You know, what are some of the stories?
Well, I mostly dabble in sneakers and sports and so have you or whatever. So I guess the main story of the year for me is both kind of has an Atlanta connection. One, Trey leaving Adidas and joining Jordan Brand. And two, the Adidas Anthony Edwards 1 being the definitive shoe of the year for 2024. I went to ATATF's and Wish ATL's Sneaker of the Year event. Shout out to Greg Street. We ran into each other.
And I'm sure you did.
Oh, yeah, Greg was on the panel. Of course Greg was
I'm
on the
sure
panel.
I'm sure he was there.
And they were discussing the sneaker on the year, and most of the panel, on most of the panel's list, it was the Anthony Edwards 1 from Adidas. So Atlanta is really doing something right now in the shoe realm.
Was there a changing of the guard for you when it came to Ant-Man last year? For me, it just seemed like he put LeBron, KD, even Steph, all them dudes on notice. We appreciate you, what you've done for the league, taking it to this level, but we here now.
Well, thank you for bringing up the Olympics, Greg. Thank you, because the Olympics was a huge moment of 2024. And I think that's what Ant did. He put them on notice in the season and then created a relationship with them in Paris. So now, not only do they know that you're next up, but now they're kind of, especially KD, now they're kind of invested in your development going forward. So he kind of got the best of both worlds in this situation. He kind of took Ja's chain and put himself in a better situation than Ja Morant, because now Ja has to rebuild all of that, and he's going to be out today again.
Right.
But now Ja has to rebuild all of that momentum that he had, because Ant-Man has snatched it.
Yep.
And then done it in a way where he gets to be boastful but endeared, which you don't see often.
There's a couple people he reminds you of, but that was one of the things, the passing of the torch. But also, since we're going to stay here in the Olympics here and this basketball team, how it was constructed and how they put some of these guys on this team when their fan base had a real problem with that. And
Trae Young should have been on the Olympic team.
Okay, that's one part of it.
He should have been there instead of Halliburton.
Okay. What about Joel Embiid?
If you're a 76ers fan, you are probably not happy that Joel Embiid played in the Olympics, looking at before the Olympics and the Olympics, and now it looked like Paris got the best of Embiid and not Philadelphia, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that they showed up Christmas Day.
Now, they did do that.
They showed up Christmas Day.
But, you know all the lights on and all, they done brought in extra cameras.
I also think that Christmas Day performance had a lot to do with what he was hearing the first part of this season.
When you know the lights are on and they're going to bring in extra cameras, you want to make sure.
His fan base talking about, you heard the word lazy.
Mm-hmm.
You heard a lot of words put on him that had been said. The quiet words were brought out loud.
Right. And what better place to quell all of that than on Christmas Day for NBA?
And then you got Kawhi Leonard. Now, somebody got smart and kept him off that team, but he tried after sitting the way he has sat for that Clippers team.
No way. He would have been sitting right next to Halliburton. No way.
How do you feel about how Justin was used. Just came off a championship.
Oh, Jason Tatum?
Jason.
Hey, if the matchup ain't there, the matchup ain't there. I'm not going to throw you out there just because you just won a championship, whatever the situation is. Like, it's no indictment on you as a player. If the matchup ain't there, it ain't there.
Yeah.
And those games were tight. This wasn't 92, okay? Those games were tight. Like, I have a Dream Team Nike coat, and I was looking at the scores on the sleeve, and I was like, man. Never again. I don't see it happening ever again. 127 to 68. It's not happening again.
No, we didn't think that.
I mean, you look at who was with an emerging powder. It was South Sudan.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? You
taking people to the wire.
You know
like
what I mean?
I felt like people slept on what was Nurkic and
we're all having that morning.
Yeah.
What we were supposed to do was supposed to talk about stories from 24. We're skipping all over to meet Simone Biles.
Yeah.
To meet Simone Biles was a story to come back from what she had to do the last time at the Olympics, knowing that all the spotlights were on her, all the lights were on, and the expectations there in Paris, and she delivered. And so, to me, she's at the top of my list for this year. Shohei Ohtani is doing something that we hadn't seen before, but baseball. Is getting my two. My three, I'm going to go women's basketball, period, because there's some people who had never even watched it who tuned in this year, both collegiately and with the WNBA. Some people will say it's all Caitlin Clark. And I'll say, yep, the hype. And some people are going to throw rocks at me. She ain't win nothing.
I mean, yeah, like, you know, that's you know, the hype that brought it in and then shot out and athlete of the year and all that great stuff.
She won individual awards. She did the same thing on the women's side that Larry Bird did his first year here. Thank you.
Okay, but
she captivated and she elevated the sport.
But some people want to say she's the number one story. I say she's the number one story if she wins something.
Yeah, well, and I didn't say that she's number one, but she did do something.
She obviously did something.
Okay.
But she didn't win collegially or didn't win professionally, which professionally is on the way, I do believe. But the impact is indisputable. And then it made a whole lot of people tune in who had never tuned in before. The crowds, people, but, you know, the box office hit, a runaway hit at the box office. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was all fantastic. Scottie Scheffler.
Now, oh, see, you took mine.
This guy did just everything you could do from, you know, winning all the top money, winning the gold medal at the Olympics, and got arrested.
And then went back out to the PGA.
This guy did it all, man. And you got to have him as one of your list of your great accomplishments from the year. I got to give something else to just someone else. We mentioned Otani, and obviously rightfully so, but I got to give a little something to our man Freddie Freeman.
And you just snatched my whole list.
For coming through at the World Series.
I mean,
man.
He snatched the whole World Series.
How about that? Right.
He pulled a Reggie. You got New Yorkers putting up signs saying, please stop, Freddie.
That was the best. Yeah, man. Absolutely.
Please stop hurting us, Freddie. I love that. Sam took most of mine. I mean, the whole Scottie Scheffler thing is just amazing when you say it out loud. And by the way, an extension, Rory McIlroy missing that putt.
Yeah.
Finally, he was an inch and a half from getting that major.
Before we leave, we're going to talk about the things that we're hoping and wishing to see in 2025. And he's one of those people you wish to see him do something great, really, at Augusta. He's been long overdue for a breakthrough there, and it'd be great to see him do well there, along with some other things we're hoping for. We're hoping for some of the folks on our baseball team to be healthy this year. There's a lot of things that we can wish for the coming year. So we'll get into those as well. But those are some of the stories I thought were really big stories.
My biggest 2024 story was breakdancing at the Olympics. Absolutely loved it.
Ouch.
It was amazing.
Oh, my goodness.
Loved it.
Hope we never see
it. It gave us so much talent and so much comedy.
Woo.
All at once. It's one of those movies that's not supposed to be a comedy, but it is.
But it's a one and done. It's a college basketball
player. Well, not necessarily. It's one of those things that the committee can pick and choose. So
I don't think
so. LA said they didn't want it. We'll see if it happens again.
We'll never see that again.
Look, thanks, Australia.
I didn't think it was possible that I would enjoy two people who surprised me after they finished what they were doing in the sports world that I have thoroughly enjoyed. One has been Marshawn Lynch, and the other is Nick Saban.
Yeah.
I didn't think I would enjoy him on game day, and then he's doing these commercials that he's staying in his lane.
Oh, yeah.
Everything he does.
Check-in is at 8.
Yeah, 7:55. I know.
You know what I mean? He has been great. He's been fantastic.
And who would have put money on Belichick ended up in North Carolina?
Right. No.
I love it. I saw that bowl game, and I said, I know Belichick taking notes. I love it. He's going to be looking at that tape from now into camp. I love it.
All right. Well, we're not done with some of our stories from 2024 or what we wish to see in 2025, but we are going to switch gears, and hopefully we're gonna perk you up and get you ready for game one of the bowls that are happening today, and it is right around the corner up the street down the block at Mercedes-Benz. It is the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. And the friend of the show, we haven't had Mr. Stokin on in a while, but looking forward to having Gary Stokin.
Always great to have him on.
Join us in just a few
minutes. Can we get our Chick-fil-A card?
I ain't got no Chick-fil-A card.
No, but he always has them.
Well, we'll see what's up.
So we have to get him if he's on there, right?
You ask him that first. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And take us with you on the Odyssey app.
Thank you. You're a little early. We're going to...
You've been waiting all day to play that one, Noel. I know that's right. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Hey, you know the other people we want to reach out to and say thank you to are those who have reached out to us, who listen to us on the weekends. And saying, hey, it's been nice hearing you guys during the week. We've been here, we did a little bit last week, and then we've been here since Sunday this week, and happy to do it. We just wish we had a different dismount to our last show that we're doing. We will be back this Sunday. But seriously, though, it has been one of those shows where we have had to adjust what we wanted to do. Great song, Noel, by the way, getting back as we get ready to talk about the Peach Bowl because of the events in New Orleans. And we will give you the updates as they come across to us. We want to just kind of switch gears here and talk about what we got going on locally here. I mean, this man has been walking around, and he does this every year. Gary Stokin's chest is a little bit more puffed out when it comes to talking about, Chick-fil-A and the Peach Bowl
absolutely.
And the success of it and the teams that are participating and the fan bases
that are
here.
Be a part of the
playoff. And part of the playoff. I mean, this is his time of year, and we cannot be happier for him to be a part of the show here. Thank you, Gary, for getting up and joining us this morning.
And Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to you, sir.
Well, I'm so happy, Greg and Sam, to be able to talk to you almost the first thing on the new year of January 1, 25. So I appreciate you guys having us, and it's Happy New Year and Happy Game Day.
So how does your day – I mean, we've asked you this in the past. We got people who haven't heard the previous shows with you on this. When does your day start, and when do you get a chance to sit down and enjoy, and your staff, the efforts that you guys have put in getting ready for this day?
Well, two answers to that. One is I tell my staff, and I try to apply it to myself, to enjoy the journey. So enjoy every moment of every day and every second, because we've learned so unfortunately with President Carter and what happened in New Orleans, and we had a volunteer pass away this week. So life is precious. You've got to enjoy every moment, because God doesn't promise you another second, minute, hour, day on this earth. So we try and enjoy it every minute, and I'm over here at the stadium. I get up 6:45, and so I've walked through, made sure the signage is okay, looks good. I'll walk over to FanFest, which started at 8 o'clock, just to walk through there, and then head back over here, see the coaches, hand out some checks, and kick it off, and hopefully have a great game.
Notice how he said it. You come over here and just hand out some checks. I think that'll be the first thing you talk about is handing out the checks, Gary.
We're the most charitable bowl organization in the country, and we've given $65 million to local charities and scholarships here in Atlanta and Georgia and the communities that play in our game. And so we've got a lot of checks to pass out. We'll go over $2 million this year in what we've given away. And that is by far more than any other bowl game, probably if you had all the bowls together. So we were founded by the Lions, the first charitable bowl game, and we've kept that part of our mission and do so humbly.
Yep. Folks, spend the time on the waitfor.com hotline with Gary Stokin. It is game day for the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. Always great to catch up with him. Now, Arizona State has been a part of the Peach Bowl before. It was a long time ago. Didn't it snow when they played here years ago?
Yeah, I spoke last night. We had all the NFF College Football Hall of Famers and the former Dodd Trophy winners and Arizona State in Texas on the Peach Bowl field at the College Football Hall of Fame last night for a dinner. And I told the Arizona State people that, you know, back in 1970, Frank Cush and number 8 Arizona State couldn't get into one of the big bowls at the time. And so Peach Bowl reached out to them, brought them west, and they played North Carolina. They won 48-26. Bill Dooley, Vince Dooley's brother, was the head coach of North Carolina. And Vince, God rest his soul, told me the story that, you know, he was on the sidelines over there at Bobby Dodd, because we played at Grant Field then. And he said, you know, Gary, I was never so cold in my life. I was so cold, I had to leave my brother at halftime and go home. And it rained in the first quarter, sleeted in the second, snowed in the third, mm-hmm. and iced in the fourth. And ironically enough, the Arizona people said, you know what? It's 80 degrees back in Phoenix today. You know, why don't we start one of these things? And so they start meeting with the Peach Bowl people, and out of that, the Fiesta Bowl was created.
Well, listen, we got a few clouds in the air, but it is a sunny day here in Atlanta, and folks are going to be inside very, very comfortable, so they don't have to worry about
it. Well, Greg, I did tell them the end of the story is that they won't need to worry about the weather, because it'll be 72 degrees in Mercedes-Benz Stadium today.
Yeah, and they're going to keep the roof closed, Sam.
They'll keep the roof closed.
Yeah, we'll keep the roof closed today. But, you know, it's interesting. We'll host 3 of the major CFP events, all within basically a calendar year. January 1 of this year, we've got Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl quarterfinal of the CFP. January 20th, Atlanta will host the national championship game. And then next January 9th, Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl will be the CFP semifinal game. So No city's been able to say that, and that's part of the reason, along with the HBCU National Championship with Celebration Bowl, the SEC Championship, our AFLAC kickoff games, having the College Football Hall of Fame here, that the media are calling us the capital of college football.
I got no problem with that.
Yep, yep.
Got absolutely no problem with that. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. You mentioned this earlier. You talked about the class of 2024, the Hall of Famers. It'll be a special night for them.
Yeah, it really was. They had their own night the night before in the Hall of Fame and had their induction ceremony. And then we had them on the field last night. And just as I told them, this is their home now. So anytime they come to Atlanta, we expect them to give us a call and let us host them in the College Football Hall of Fame. So very, very special. And Warrick Dunn, who went in this year into the Hall, represented the Hall of Fame class and spoke very eloquently about what it means to be a Hall of Famer, and just praised the rest of the guys that went in as only Warrick can. He's so classy.
Mm-hmm. Your thoughts about one of these teams that play here today could end up back here, on January 20th. If it's Texas, my goodness, it will be their third time here. Maybe they're going to start getting their mail delivered here.
Listen, but this would be a good time to ask him that question.
Should I ask him about it?
Go ahead and ask him. Garrett, has been a question on Sam's tongue all morning long, so go ahead.
Yeah, we there's no way we can bring Bevo to town. I know we don't have room to keep him throughout the game because the sidelines are tight, but it seems like he could still come to town and have him hang out and people take pictures with him, couldn't we?
I must have done 50 interviews over the last 2 weeks, and I was down at the Clemson-Texas game in Austin. And while I was there, I was standing by Bevo, and his security people came up and asked me if he can come to Atlanta. The people that run Bevo came up. The guy's wife who runs Bevo came up, and all the guys that handle Bevo. So I was hit on every which way. And simply what I told him is, the SEC, wouldn't have Bevo come up because of the sidelines. We have these field suites and terrace suites now at Mercedes-Benz, and when you put the ESPN cameras along the sidelines running up and down with cheerleaders and photographers doing their work, and now the benches go all the way to the 20-yard line, there's simply no room on the sidelines nor in the end zones. And I didn't think it was fair to, since the SEC didn't have them, and I know the national championship game, CFP, is not going to have them if they make it back here. I didn't want to put them in an uncomfortable situation, so I took the heat. And I didn't think it was fair bringing him all this way just to put him out in Home Depot backyard outside. So
no,
we told him, it just didn't make much sense to have him come up. And I took the heat, but, I told him we hate it because we love the traditions of college football, and Bevo's one of the great ones.
Folk, it really is, really, really, truly is. But I tell you something else that's a tradition. And I'm going to throw this one at you, you being the NC State man. NC State and East Carolina fighting. Man, tell me something about this game we just saw last week, because I remember when NC State and East Carolina came to play here in the final football game played at Old Atlanta Fulton County Stadium, because they weren't allowed to play back home because they had and here we are fighting again. Why can't East Carolina and NC State get along, Gary? What's the problem?
But I remember that game. It was so cold out there at Fulton County, and Jeff Blake wound up running into the end zone, and East Carolina beat NC State.
Yep.
And East Carolina, NC State, a lot of the people have gone to each other's schools. There's a lot of families that are mixed with East Carolina and NC State grads. There has been some conflict with East Carolina trying to obviously elevate their program by playing North Carolina State, North Carolina, Wake Forest. And I think they got it legislated that they're going to play now. Matter of fact, NC State and East Carolina open the season next year. So that's going to be an interesting opener.
It will be. But I just know when I saw that, I instantly thought about you and about the game here, because at the time it had been declared, I think, by Jim Valvano. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, who said we will not play them again. Is that right?
My favorite thoughts about East Carolina is when I played basketball, and I picked splinters out of my butt, but I played one of my best games against East Carolina. I had five assists, and in basketball.
Oh, look, okay,
look at this, man.
East Carolina has good memories on my side from the basketball.
take it where you can get them. Gary Stokin joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We figure they're all gone, but we're going to ask anyway because people wanted to know, are there any tickets available for folks to get into the building today?
Yeah, we sold out. Both teams get 13,000 tickets, and they've sold through those. And, you know, and again, as part of being the capital of college football, it's you need great support by fans who buy the tickets for all our big events. You need great corporate support from all the corporate headquarters we have here in Atlanta. And you need great volunteers. And we're so blessed that in Atlanta we have all three of those. So you put that along with the greatest facility in the country right now, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and add the great hotels and the hospitality industry we have, and just very, very special place. You got all the ingredients to make us the capital of college football.
And being the capital of college football, Sam, is just one another component as to what makes Atlanta an international city. When you talk about that, you talk about the things that you can experience when you come here. And he just gave us a breakdown of what's going to happen over the next 12 to 24 months. Around here, actually about 15 months. But, yeah, this is absolutely the place to be. Before we let you go, anything else you want to just kind of put out there, Gary, that folks should know about?
Well, I just appreciate your friendship. And as we start the new year, it's so important that, you know, life is so precious and we should enjoy each other's company, enjoy each other, and be positive. I like to talk about having an attitude of gratitude. Mm-hmm. And so let's all start this year with an attitude of gratitude. And we all know that adversity is going to face us in life. Life's not fair, but you know, if you can keep that positive attitude, you got a chance of getting through it on the other side. And that's what makes people great, if they can come out on the other side of adversity and be positive. So I hope everybody has a happy new year, a happy game day, and just really appreciate you guys' friendship and the professionalism you have and what you do for Atlanta and college football.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm going to do my best in 2025 to get you or a family member into a movie.
Ooh.
Because we've been talking about that.
Yeah. My grandsons would love that. But thanks so much, guys. Great to be with you, and thanks for starting the new year with me.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for being with us, Gary. We appreciate you so much.
There he is. He's you know, he's just the man. Gary Stokin joining us here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. No, he did. He had something to say about that picture with me and The Rock. So, you know, and he is asked in the past. I think he's got some family members that want to get in front of the camera, and I'm going to do my best to try to help him out here.
We need to make an adjustment. Let's see if we can do something here at the top of the hour and then 20.
And continue.
I'm hearing from somebody from New Orleans.
All right. Well, so let's do that as we continue to bring breaking news from that city with the, as the mayor of New Orleans is calling it, terrorist attack that came upon them at 3:15 this morning. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And take us with you in the Odyssey app.